Good to see all of you, and thank God for yesterday's picnic. Thank God for good weather, and thank God that I had the opportunity to get to know some of you better through the fellowship that we had yesterday. And also thank all of you for bringing food yesterday, and thank God for the time. So today we are beginning a new message series called Lord, Make My Life Count. We all want our lives to count for something. None of us wants to get to the end of our lives and say, what was that all about? What was that all about? We all only want to give so many hours. We're all given so many hours a day to work, so many hours on the calendar, and we all want our actions to mean something. The search for significance is universally relevant. We all want to be important and to make a difference, especially if you are a child of God. In this series, we are going to look at a number of areas of life, and then see what the Bible says about how you can make each of these areas count. The Bible is God's instruction book for living. In its pages, you'll find invaluable wisdom that will guide and protect you as you wind your way through this thing called life. The topic we will be looking at in this series are your work, your rest, your faith, your money, and your time. And I would like to begin with our work. You're going to spend a lot of time in this life working. So I want us to look at three important principles from God's Word that will help you in your work and help you make your work count. So how do you make your work count? The first principle has to do with your vocation, is to view your work as God's calling. We need to know that God has created you and I to work. And the Bible tells us that from the very beginning, God created you and I to work. We read in Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28, the first chapter of the Bible, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, theologians call this the creation mandate. This means God created us in his own image, and then commanded us to fill the earth and subdue it. This mandate tells us that we are to work in this planet to care for God's creation and to discover the potential that God has built into the earth. We are called to make families, communities, and culture as we fill the earth and subdued it through the God-honored means of work. Some people mistakenly misunderstood that work came after the fall. That God originally intended us just to live in the garden and to eat fruit of the trees without any work at all. That's wrong, of course. But a careful reading of scripture shows us just the opposite. We read in Genesis 2 that and it says the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Genesis 2:15. This was before the fall, by the way. Before sin entered into the world. Even before the creation of Eve. So God created you to work, and so you should view your work as God's calling, God's divine calling for you. So when you work, you are fulfilling part of God's calling on your life. Regardless of what you do, all work is ministry. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." And verse 24 says, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, and know this phrase, for ye serve the Lord Christ." So this verse is not just targeting to pastors, evangelists, missionaries, but to all Christians. Whatever you do, it is a calling. Whatever you do, it is a ministry. Do it all for the Lord Jesus Christ, because you serve Him. And again, I said, we tend to think of ministry as the work we do in the church, rather than the work we do in the world. But God views it all as one. Ministry simply means serving the Lord. And you can do that at church. But you also can do it at your work, the place of your work. So you might be a minister of the gospel, but you could also be a minister of accounting, or a minister of teaching, or a minister of engineering, or a minister of plumbing. All right? Whatever that you do. Martin Luther wrote, I quote, "The idea of that service to God should have only to do with the church altar, singing, reading, sacrifice, and the like is without doubt but the worst trick of the devil." And he goes on to say, "How could the devil have led us more effectively astray than by the narrow conception that the service of God takes place only in the church and by works done therein?" And then he concludes, "The whole world could abound with services to the Lord, not only in churches, but also in the home, in the kitchen, in the workshop, and in the field." Unquote. Or as Dorothy Sayers, an English writer and poet, says, "All work done well and for God's glory is Christian work." So in a sense, you are all ministers because you're all serving the Lord. As you serve the Lord both here in the church and in the place where God has called you to work, you are serving God in so many ways in this world. So that's the first principles to lay hold of in making your work count. So don't think your job as just a job. View your work as God's divine calling. God created you to work, and all work is ministry. And the second principle I want you to understand is to make your work count, and making your work count is that of service. Here I want you to know who your real boss is. Regardless of what you do, we work to serve the Lord. According to one poll, nearly 44% of Australian office workers are satisfied with their jobs. Not ideal, but not too bad. Wait till you see this figure from Japan. In Japan, the figure dips to only 17%, 1/7. Okay? Now, years ago, one of my brothers, my own brothers, not a brother in Christ, but my blood brother, said to me, David, I admire you. I said, why? He said, because you do what you like to do, and your boss is God. I wasn't surprised he said that because he used to work for a Japanese company in Singapore. You know, the fact that we all work to serve the Lord, and our boss is ultimately God. Look at Ephesians 6 with me. These words were originally addressed to slaves and their masters, but they are just as applicable to workers and bosses today. Ephesians 6, verses 6 to 8 says, servant, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as man pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bound or freed. Now you may have a great boss, or you may have a terrible boss, but either way, make sure you know who your real boss is. You are serving the Lord. This one principle will revolutionize your attitude at work. In the first century, Christian slaves had even less reason to be enthusiastic about their work. But Paul gave them a way to grasp a glimpse of glory amid their hard work. In Titus 2, verse 10, Paul instructed Titus to exhort the servants, to encourage the servants to adorn the doctrine of God. That is to show the beauty of their faith in Christ Jesus by how they work in this world. A significant and often overlooked way that we serve God is in our everyday task. The little thing that you do, or the little task you complete, or the small errand you run. Everything is an opportunity for us to serve the Lord. Again, Martin Luther understood this when he wrote, I quote, the maid who sweeps her kitchen is doing the will of God, just as much as the monk who prays. Not because she may sing a Christian hymn as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors. And he goes on to say, the Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship. End quote. When you realize that you are really serving God and not just some human being who happens to be your boss, you will work differently. You will begin to see your work as ministry because you are serving the Lord. And regardless of what you do, we also need to realize that we work to serve not just the Lord, but also to serve others. And because God is your real boss, you not only work to serve Him, you must also work to serve others. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. How do we serve others? By giving to those who are in need. I suggest two ways that we may serve others by giving to those who are in need. Number one, you are to do something useful. How do you define useful? Well, not all work is honest. But if you do something that is honest, moral, and lawful, that will fall under the category of useful. You can be a teacher, that's pretty useful. An engineer, accountant, or so on and so forth. When you work, whether as an engineer, teacher, an accountant, and so on and so forth, or nurse, you are either providing services or products to other people who are in need. So whatever work you find yourself in, praise God that you have the opportunity to serve others by being useful. At the same time, you may want to evaluate the work you are in and ask the Lord, am I using the gift that you have given me to the fullest? And where is your gift? You must ask yourself and pray unto God to reveal it unto you. And ask the Lord, could I serve others better in a different place or in a different job? So when choosing the career, it is not just the amount of pay or the career prestige to be your priority, but you should think about, seriously think about how I may serve others, how I may become useful in the job that I do for the Lord. The Lord may lead you to take some steps of faith. He may lead you to take on a job that pays less or less prestigious. Either way, understand that you are to serve others by doing something useful with your work. And through those opportunities, you should get the gospel out. And we shall talk about that a little bit more when we get to point number 3. And then the second way that this verse teaches you to serve others through your work is by sharing with those in need. You work first to provide for yourself and for your family. But God also wants you to take the additional step where you manage your finances in such a way that you can help those who are in need. And I'm talking about those, you know, talking about giving and providing practical help to those who are in need or who are less fortunate, especially the household of God. By the way, this is not social gospel. You know, helping other people is not social gospel. It's but simply obeying God's commandment, showing God's love to other people. Remember that Jesus said that the greatest commandments is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. But don't forget that the second part is said, love your neighbor as yourself. The two comes together when you view your work as service to God and to others. So how do you make your work count? We have talked about vocation. View your work as God's calling, God's divine calling. Your calling is sacred. It is as sacred as my calling, by the way. And secondly, we have talked about service. Know who your real boss is. You may have a human boss, but ultimately your boss is God. Finally, I would like to talk about witness. How you work matters. Regardless of what you do, work hard. Proverbs 14, Verse 23 says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of lips tendeth only to punery. Right? In all labor, in other words, the writer is just talking about diligence. In all diligence, there's profit. Good things come out of your diligence, but the talk of lips tendeth only to penury. The word penury means poverty. So in other words, more action, fewer words. Do more, talk less. Okay? All right. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Based on these two passages, basically God is telling us, when you work, work hard. We have a brother in Christ who has returned to China. His name is John, and some of you know him. The other day he rang me and shared with me some of his struggles that he's experiencing in the work. He told me that he finds difficult to find the balance between work and ministry or service to the Lord. I said, there's no need for such struggles because your work is a ministry. He has been assigned new responsibilities and he feels guilty for letting it occupy too much of his personal time. You know? So I said to him, your work is ministry. So be a good testimony as you work. And I give him a few suggestions. It is okay to take initiative, to take on new challenges. It is okay to take on new challenges. And also told him that just be responsible of the task which I've been giving you. Be responsible and take initiative and follow through what you have been assigned to do. All right? That has to do with responsibility as well. And go extra mile, of course, within your ability. Right, to do the things well and sometimes go an extra mile to do it even better. Do the things that no one else could do. Right? And work hard at your job and earn a reputation for excellence from your boss and from your company. And that too, ultimately, not just to please your human boss, but ultimately to please the Lord, to work hard. If we do that, if you do that, you will feel better about your work when you do. You will be a good witness to other people, your colleagues, and your boss. And you will be surprised at how God will bless you when you work hard at the task set before you. All hard work brings a profit, Proverbs says, but it also enhances your witness. Now, here's my point. Regardless of what you do, work with integrity. Now, when you do that, when you work hard and when you work with integrity, that provides a channel for you to witness to other people. I'm going to go on with a little bit. I'll talk about how we may witness to other people through our work. We look at Colossians 3 earlier when we talk about your work as ministry or service to the Lord. Now I want us to look at it again in the context of working with integrity. Same passage, Colossians chapter 3 verses 22 to 24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleaser, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. It is one thing to work hard when your boss is around and has had his eyes on you, but how about when no man is watching and no one is watching and your boss isn't around? When I was studying in the seminary, I worked as a cleaner for a couple of months at the college. I think more than a couple of months. I was working with a group of undergraduate students from all over the world. I noticed that when our supervisor was around, they would work hard, you know? But when our supervisor was not around, they would relax a bit and sit down and rest. Okay. That's where integrity comes from, or comes in, rather. Be honest in your work. Be above board with your boss, with your clients, or with your customers in all your transactions. Integrity means you are the same person in private as you are in public. Same person, no difference. Whether you're at home, or at church, or outside of church, at work, or in school, you're the same person. If you wouldn't waste time while the boss was standing there, you wouldn't waste time when he or she is not there. The standard should be the same. Integrity means you are a whole person. When the people see you, they always see a whole person, not half a person. Oh, see your whole person. You're not one person in one situation, therefore, and a different person in another situation. And if you are a whole person, then you will work with a whole heart. You will work with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for man. Because it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Remember. I'll go back to that illustration about my supervisor. Now, it was a Christian college. And I hoped my supervisor would come out with a better advice to some of us. We went out to clean one of the apartments. And then my supervisor told me, you know, clean all the corners, clean all the house, as if your own children were going to stay in the house. I was thinking, okay, that may work. Why don't you say that, you know, clean the house and work hard as if you are doing unto the Lord. As if you are serving the Lord. I think that would work better. But I think he realized that some of us may not be Christians. In a Christian college, of course, it's an open enrollment. Not everyone is a Christian. And I think that that's why he gave that advice to us, you know, to sort of push us, to encourage us to work hard, you know. But in whatever situation, in whatever we do, do it as if unto the Lord, because we serve the Lord, not man, ultimately. So, and if you are a whole person, then you will work with a whole heart, as I said. You will work with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Working with integrity is part of your witness. Now, finally, regardless of what you do, work to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, so, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That's pretty obvious to most Christians, right? We all want to glorify God, don't we? And we all know that, you know, from the catechism, that God has created you to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. One of the ways we glorify Him is here at church when we worship. That's true. You know, and worship Him as part of the body of Christ. But you are also called to glorify God in your work. As I said many times, worship is a lifestyle. It is not limited to just one day a week. On Sunday, we become super Christians. And then on the rest of the days during the week that we mix with the world and we behave like the people in the world. No, we worship God daily, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you are also called to glorify God in your work. So work hard with integrity. Do a good job. gain a good reputation at your work, whatever you do, but do it not for your own glory, or do it not just to please your boss, but do it for the glory of God. When your boss or co-worker or client or students compliments you, praise you on your work, excellent, I like what you did, what do you say unto them? Do you say, oh, I'm just doing my best? Oh, that happens to be my area of expertise. That's why I can do well. Well, if you are a child of God, try saying, oh, thank you, that means a lot to me. But I give thanks to God, for He is the one who helped me. And I give Him all the praise and glory. Amen? So that's what we can say, you know, to our boss or to our colleagues who praise our work. The composer Johann Sebastian Bach, we have a Bach here at the back, signed all his work with the following phrase, to the glory of God alone. We need to find creative ways to make that our signature on all the work we do. No, it doesn't necessarily mean a physical signature. This can be done by the way we respond to compliments and praise. Give all the praise and glory and honor to God. Oh, it's not me, it is God who helped me. I was able to do well. Praise the Lord God, give thanks to Him. And don't forget to use every opportunity at work to share the gospel to people. Everyone is called to be a preacher. Not a preacher in the sense preaching on the pulpit, of course. Everyone is called to be an evangelist. Make every opportunity count. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What does this verse mean? Now, this means that your word and deed must become an instrument for you to share the gospel to the people around you. Whatever you say, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't glorify God in the things that you do, if you can't glorify God in the words that you say, don't say it. If you can, make that an opportunity to share the gospel with your non-believing colleagues, your friends, or your boss. Tell the world that you are a Christian. Do not be afraid, and that your faith in Christ has affects your whole life, the way you do things and the way you talk at your workplace. Tell people that you are a Christian. Share the gospel of Christ with your boss and your workers, your clients, or your fellow students. Do you want your work matter? Do you want your work to matter? Do you want to make a difference? Then understand these vital principles from scriptures. Number one, view your work as God's calling. God created you to work. So all work is ministry. Number two, service. Know who your real boss is. Your boss may be nasty, but know who your real boss is. Your real boss is ultimately God. You work to serve the Lord and to serve others as well. Number three, witness how your work matters. How your work matters. So you work hard and we work with integrity and do it all your might and work to the glory of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven,